My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Go to hell, and while you're there, bring me a juice box. How do we feel about July 4th on a Thursday? What would win in a poll of the best day of the week to have July 4th? You have a lot of people, it's like a Thanksgiving sort of vibe here, where you have a lot of people who have clearly taken the holiday and made it into a four-day weekend. I think the answer has to be Monday. My favorite holidays are on Mondays. You can look ahead to it, three-day weekend. You wake up on Sunday morning, oh, I have tomorrow too. Wake up on Monday morning, oh, look at this, free day. Special Memorial Day, July 4th when it happens, Labor Day. Those are the ones, they've got it right. Thursday, I think, wouldn't finish, like Wednesday is probably the worst day, or the weekend for the 4th. You got to get as much out of it as you can, right? So you're lucky enough to take today too. Good for you. But my vote is Monday. Ian Harditz, who's been thinking about this at length, I'm sure, as he waits for our conversation to get going from Fantasy Life. Ian, do you have a take? You're a guy who has takes. What's the best day of the week for the 4th?
I feel like Thursday. Maybe you have the highest ceiling, because if you do, then just get Friday off. You know, then we're talking an easy 4-day weekend right there, and you know, you're done at work pretty much on Wednesday, but you might have talked me into Monday. All things considered, you know, we can't control the controllables, focus on what's most likely. Probably with you on Monday.
Does Tuesday deserve a look if Thursday's good? I mean, would it be the same to make a 4-day weekend out of the 4th if it were on a Tuesday?
I think it's a lot easier to get the Friday off than it's going to be to get that Monday off prior to the Tuesday. But we'll see what happens. You know, kind of some wild cards with the Thursday, Tuesday during the week. They can go either way.
Fair. And I think, you know, you have a lot of people, if they're lucky enough to do it, they sort of already take the summer Fridays. So, you know, you're not getting the full extra day if you're like that when it's on a Thursday. Well, let's get to more important subjects. And that, of course, is fantasy football. I love it when I enter a draft, and these drafts now, like at Underdog and other sites, they just fill immediately. It's absolutely out of control how popular these drafts are. I love it when I sign up and there's one of my guys in there. And this happened last week, where I saw the famous Free Duke Johnson moniker there, Ian, in a Well, you haven't lived until you've competed in the Mini Schnauzer 5E, and I think you'd agree. And, you know, great to see you in there. I thought that draft went well for us both. And it reminded me, thinking that way, reminds me of an article I wrote a few years ago about just, like, how often is it where you think you had a bad draft? Like, it's kind of hard. I went out and tried to pick the worst picks that were realistic in each round in a draft. I didn't spend money on it, but I just did the exercise. And still, like, it would have been a draft that I thought, you know, could anything can work, right? So how often do you draft and feel like you messed up or just what didn't go well?
I would say I probably feel pretty good about it, you know, 75% plus of the time, which is ridiculous when you look at their results. You know, I mean, all of our teams are perfect every July and August, but then week one rolls around, and by 135, we're like, what were we thinking this entire time? But I would say the times where things do go wrong is just when you're trying to build something up, you know, with a certain stack, you know, you just need this quarterback to get to you, and it's just, doesn't go right for you. And then all of a sudden you're looking at a QB room or tight end room that, you know, sadly you had to settle for your fourth or fifth options at the position. But more than anything, I think especially if you're in the types of tournaments that we're playing where, you know, you just need to be perfect with, you know, hundreds and thousands of entries sometimes, it's willing to go out there and try to, you know, play to perfection where, yeah, it's not going to work out sometimes, but when I was doing a best ball mania on the treadmill about an hour ago, I mean, already had Jamar Chase, already had T. Higgins, so am I going to reach on Joe Burrow 20 picks ahead of ADP? No, I'm going to wait there, trust the process, and hopefully get him, you know, at an affordable price, because otherwise I feel like, you know, someone else out there is going to get the perfect draft that this time you did.
Right. That's the thing. There will be how many tens of thousands of teams that have Chase and Higgins and Burrow later? Like, right. And you have that extra reason to think or hope that the next guy won't pick Burrow, because why would he? Do you think this point you're making about how, like, when does it go badly when you're trying to build, whatever it is, San Francisco, you're hoping for Purdy or even someone later than that. Watson is an interesting one, you know, like 14, 15. And you don't get them, whether it makes any sense for the other team or not. Do you think that that maybe pushes up the top guys where if that happens to you, you don't want that to happen to you, or you might, you know, pay a little extra or build your strategy around Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been a fan of kind of getting those, you know, top five, six, the dual threat alien quarterbacks, you know, at the position where, again, I think in fantasy football, as much as it usually does, a pretty good job of replicating who the stars are in real life. I mean, the two positions that we just continuously see buck the trend are receiving running backs, because we get the full point on a lot of sites for PPR, and then also those rushing QBs. So always wondered if they would, you know, account for sacks a little more in fantasy scoring, like give quarterbacks a minus one for that, if that could help even things out. But as it is, I mean, look, Josh Allen last year, overall QB1, if he threw for 3,500 yards instead of the 4,300 he had, still would have been QB1. So, you know, I'm cheating a little bit there because of the passing touchdowns would have been down too. But truly, Allen, Hurts, and I think Lamar and Richardson this year, guys are almost playing a different position than everyone else, you know, at least as far as we are scoring them. So, yeah, Anthony Richardson so far, my most drafted quarterback. And
nice.
I think it just, you know, works out pretty well sometimes. We're getting these guys in rounds 5 and 6. And if they have that, you know, chance to be the overall QB1, like I think Richardson does, I think that price tag is going to look just fine here come November, December.
Love it. Yeah. Find me a fantasy analyst who's not cuckoo for Richardson. Who's making the bear argument on Anthony Richardson? It's not me.
There's that funny tweet, you know, a couple of weeks ago from Dan Orlovsky, and Dan does a bunch of good stuff, but he was like, guys, you know, don't coming out here with an under-the-radar player that could really, you know, take over the league, and it was Anthony Richardson. So, yeah, I mean, I think, again, he's still so raw. I mean, coming out of Florida, the big talk was that he'd only started, you know, 11 to 12 games, and then last year to more or less, you know, play like 9 or 10 total quarters or whatever it was. That said, both instances, we really have seen him flashing. And when you just, like, again, we see this from the best quarterbacks in the league, the very best, with all due respect to, you know, Tua's and some of the system guys out there. But just that ability to create off script and get something out of nothing is so lethal when you are pairing it with an offense led by Shane Steichen, who, you know, was a top 10 scoring group last year, even with Richardson getting hurt so early. So I hear you, but man, I just really have a hard time seeing how he busts, especially in fantasy football, if a man can just stay healthy. So one time, injury gods, one time.
Let's go. Ian Hart, it's my guest on the West Her Hotline from Fantasy Life. One of the best. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off until Monday. So when it comes to the Bills, Ian, you have Allen go underdog, you know, late third. People are hot for Kincaid. Looks like he might be the odds-on favorite to be primary target for Allen. And that's sort of a different thing because of the tight end position. You know, one guy's going to want to the so-called onesie positions early like that. Other guys are going to want to wait on one or both. And then you have this receiver room, which, I mean, there's a lot of possible outcomes here for what the Bills receiver room will end up looking like and who will emerge. Do you have a favorite for the draft price, whether Shakir Samuel, Coleman, someone else?
Usually Curtis Samuel for me. I mean, he's the one I'm just most confident that we're going to be able to look back in as early as week one and just say, okay, he is the full-time wide receiver in this offense. So I think, honestly, I mean, Curtis and Shakir, I would be very surprised if he's not out there. But you do wonder, you know, when they do want to have their Kincaid Knox, you know, personnel both on the field at the same time, maybe Shakir, if he is going to be the leading slot man, is the odd man out. So I'm just curious to see how long it takes Keon to really go ahead and get that number one job that I know they draft him for, but his skill set does seem to overlap at least a little bit more with the backups, you know, Claypool, Hollins, MVS, than what Curtis and Shakir have. So 24 million reasons for Curtis to go out there right away. And honestly, you start looking at the RB depth chart and how kind of thin and unproven it is behind James Cook. And I wouldn't be surprised if Curtis is, you know, old OC Joe Brady himself is actually able to go out there, get him, you know, upwards of 9-10 combined targets and carries sooner rather than later. So not saying Curtis can go out there and be this top 12, you know, talent, but in Carolina, even for stretches of time in Washington, I mean, he certainly looked like a dude. So now you put him in an offense with by far the best quarterback of his career. I'm definitely in on Curtis Samuel. Priced outside what? Like wide receiver 50, 51 right now?
Yeah, I think one of the first things you said was the, you know, the slot receiver with Shakir in mind. I mean, everybody that we talk to, not everybody, but majority opinion on Keon Coleman seems to be best in the slot. Samuel has kind of been that. Kincaid, if Knox is going to play, Kincaid is going to be that. I mean, it's four or five slot receivers. Are you drafting Claypool ever?
You know, every once in a while, very last round, if I already have Josh Allen for it, but just some of the, you know, so-called hype, not that much. You just kind of saw probably one article or one news bit about the guy. You know, Claypool, I will say, he's one of these players where I think we just hold one play against them way too often. I mean, the dude celebrated a first down, yeah, an inopportune time, but he also scored 13 touchdowns as a rookie and remains, you know, one of those, you know, freakier size and speed specimens out there. So out of all the guys I mentioned, MBS, Mac Hollins, and Claypool, I'd say Claypool has the highest upside, but also if he's not on the roster by week one, wouldn't be all that shocking.
Mm-hmm. Who's your 101, Ian? I know we're both playing a lot, and like I'm in a FFPC draft right now with JD, John Daniel, and we ended up picking Lamb at 101, and part of the discussion was like, well, who have we already picked? Like, how much McCaffrey do we have already? You know, if you had one draft, would you pick McCaffrey first?
It's really between those two, because I think they're each in a tier of their own, even relative to the rest of the position. I lean CMC. I mean, you know, Shanahan can talk about it time and time again about wanting to maybe get Mitchell or whoever else, you know, involved in that backfield. But based on that money they just decided to give him again and everything we've seen so far, just seems like, you know, when everything goes right, who actually has, you know, the highest single-week ceiling, especially in half PPR or standard, I do think it's McCaffrey. But, you know, in CD's respect, though, just in terms of looking at wide receivers and just kind of basing our decision-making on usually what are the four categories of how talented is this player, how much target competition does he have, how good is his quarterback? And then, you know, are there any personal age or injury red flags? And you could argue CeeDee kind of has the more complete, you know, four-pronged approach over CMC if you are starting to get a little bit worried about the age. But I believe McCaffrey's still only 28. We really don't see running backs, you know, start to fall off the proverbial age cliff until they are hitting about 30. So obviously no signs of decline in McCaffrey's play. So again, lean CMC, but it is so close.
Right. Hey, Ian, I'm going to let you go a little bit early today. Really glad we could connect. And I'm not going to the expo. At least I'm not planning on it this year, so I won't see you there. But sometime soon, I hope.
We'll catch you around next time, man. Yeah, for sure. I got a tee time to catch, so I appreciate it, Mike.
Just like the last time we spoke. You're welcome.
There we go.
Thanks for your time. Yep, great day to be great. Ian Harditz on the West Her Hotline. I didn't know he had a hard out, if that's what that was. But we have a Sabres trade.
We do. Ryan McLeod coming over from the Edmonton Oilers. It looks like, this is coming from Elliot Friedman, Matthew Savoy going the other way. So the ninth overall pick from a number of years ago and arguably the Sabres' top prospect still in the pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, that can be said. Also, Tyler Tulio from the Edmonton organization. He's played the last two seasons, full seasons, in the American League. Do you have a take on McLeod?
From what I've seen so far on Twitter, it does seem like he's one of the faster players in the NHL, and he's a good two-way player that should fill out their need at center on the third line. So it's a hefty price.
Yeah, it's not the second. It's not the first line winger here.
This is the third line center.
This is the third line center.
It is interesting. I've thought potentially Savoy is expendable for the Sabres for like maybe a little over a year now. When you drafted Benson, who played with him and was better and younger. And then Helenius now in this last draft, it does kind of feel like there was just too many forwards in the pipeline. And one of them, maybe even more, do have to go because it's a logjam now at this point.
Ryan McLeod, 4 goals in the Oilers playoff run, 24 games. During the regular season, 30 points, 12 goals, 30 points for Edmonton in 81 games. None on the power play, even strength. So I have to look up, you know, his ice time. Finished 71st in the Lady Bing. They go 71 or more got votes in the Lady Bing. Okay. That's something. That's one vote, I guess, tied for 71st. All right. Well, you tell me if you want to weigh in on Ryan McLeod. I feel like with these, if there was ever going to be a trade, unless it was for like a monster player, it was going to be somebody that I would have to dig in on, and that'll be the case here for McLeod. I'm familiar with him, but not, you know, entirely familiar, not that familiar with him. And it is pricey. I mean, Savoy was a top prospect, as Zach said, arguably the number one guy they had who was not already with the team, like not counting Benson. But you wanted fans, you know, everybody sort of wanted Paul too. Like, you might have to, quote, overpay. And that's very much a subjective description, you know, is trading perhaps your top prospect for, I don't want to say role player. Maybe he's above that sort of distinction. $2.1 million player, probably on his first contract. I would think 4 years in the league, Ryan McLeod, and just 10 games played in his first year, so 24. Maybe this would be called that. But, right, they had to do it. I mean, they had to do something to not, who knows how it'll go, but I think for their credibility with the fans, maybe with anybody, there needed to be a move for an NHL player. And that is clearly what this is. That is trading futures for the present, which was almost unanimously the feeling on what the Sabres needed. So here you go. Ryan McLeod, 4-year player from the Oilers for Matt Savoy. That is the report from Elliot Friedman. We'll let you know if we don't yet whether that's been made official.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still looks like it's just being reported. So, okay. Matt Savoy, we really never knew you. You know, he could be somebody that, you know, has a great career, but this is what it takes. And so I said on funny to have Paul coming up here to sort of recap the week, and this just fits right in there nicely. End of the week from July 1st on Monday, the start of free agency. I think I was like most voices when it came to them that they were one trade away, maybe even two, but at least one trade away from having this all feel like it was successful. And I guess you get to decide for yourself if Ryan McLeod clears that bar for you. Savoy is a big price to pay. But a young player, and I don't know what his charts look like yet, but I'm going to want to know, and that's probably going to be a lot of where I end up on this trade. Just the willingness, which the Sabres had, you know, maybe kind of lost you on, but your confidence in their being willing to pull the trigger on a trade like this. But they have done it. Matt Savoy reportedly going to Edmonton for 4-year player Ryan McLeod. 30 points this season for the Oilers, 4 goals in the playoffs, playing every night, and Ty Tulio, who's been in the American League. Let's take a break here and sort of see what we can learn about McLeod, and maybe you want to give us a call about him. 803-0550 is the number if you do. The Sabres make a move. How about that on a summer Friday? Not to sound too incredulous, but, you know, it wasn't exactly, like I said the other day, if they do, they do. But I'm not going to sit around every day all summer sort of wondering and waiting for it. Here they did the thing that so often was said was needed. Dipping into their prospect pool, and not that deep, right at the top of the list for an NHL player to help them right away. And maybe also for years to come. That'd be the goal, right? 803-0550 for your thoughts. How does this change how you felt about the Sabres summer? I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
Kulak could play it. Drysdale spins in his own zone. On the tape to Perry. A touch over the line for Nurse. Back to Corey Perry. Wait on. Nurse McLeod scores. Ryan McLeod. And the Oilers are on the board.
Chris Cuthbert How did I know he was going to score on that clip as the play was unfolding? Ryan McLeod traded to the Sabres. I know. Matt Savoy to Edmonton. I won't pretend to know a lot about McLeod, but I like what I have heard in the last 15 minutes and read. And I think you sort of have to own the whole idea that the Sabres just did not have it made in terms of the NHL roster, have this impressive group of prospects right now. This is when, I mean, everybody was saying the same thing. This is when you have to cringe, maybe, and force yourself to trade somebody you might have had very high hopes and expectations for somebody that can help you end a 13-year playoff drought. I mean, simply put. And that is what happened. You could, whatever opinion you might have of Savoy, what kind of an opinion are you supposed to have from watching a guy play junior hockey, if you even did, or if we even watched him at all? He went back, I know with Savoy, he was kind of a little bit interesting last summer and was injured at the Prospects Challenge, I think it was, and Benson just sort of took off. And they couldn't send Savoy to Rochester, so he ends up going back to junior hockey. He was traded, I think, during his season in junior hockey and was probably just too good for the league. I know from talking to Paul, you know, at different times, what is really sort of the benefit of that to the player, but you only have a couple of options, and they were not going to keep him here. So that is what it is. Ends up being traded here to Edmonton, never in the end, well, at least, you know, as of now, getting a game with the Sabres. So a lot of unknowns, as there always are when you're talking about prospects and these kinds of things, but I'm encouraged that the Sabres were willing to do this. You know, a statement that their forward ranks still needed more. And I think you could still say it, because as we've talked all week about them, and I'd like your takes at 803-0550 if anybody wants to share. Maybe you're keeping them very private, but if you're not, you know, if you're willing to share how you feel about this with other people, I could be your guy. As we talked about their depth chart, their lines over the course of the week, third line center and a top winger to replace Jeff Skinner were the two areas. These were the two spots. And not even in that order, I would say, because they did a lot with the bottom six forward group here in free agency. So I would think, you know, you can't just buy out Jeff Skinner and kind of leave it alone or expect people to think Jason Zucker will, you know, basically be the same. At 36 years old. That wasn't, you know, the Sabres didn't exactly say that, but by what they had done already, you know, this is kind of how it smelled. This is what it looked like. And that was a tough sell, as people have said over and over the course of the week. We've talked to Paul, we talked to Travis Yost. I think that was last week Travis was on, but then I saw him tweeting the other day about just like, Sabres, come on. You don't hire Lindy Ruff, buy out Skinner at this stage of the game, and leave it at that. And I kind of want to think there's still one more move, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Is that we'll see. We'll see if there is. But it feels good that they were willing to trade a prospect to get a regular. And that is, you know, if your team makes a trade, if your team makes a prospect for player kind of trade, you're going to like the idea of augmenting the NHL team. And if your team makes the other trade, a player for a prospect, you're going to like that too, because of the, you know, investment in the future. And you're going to sort of side with your guys when it comes to this stuff. But the Sabres were so clearly positioned to be right for this kind of a trade. And not every team is. I don't know if Edmonton is. I mean, I don't know if Edmonton was at a point where their NHL club was bubbling over. We know how good they are and needed to, or had the luxury, I guess you would say, of augmenting the farm system. But there should be teams where this kind of thing lines up. And, well, it has here. So I'm good. It's mostly for me, it's not symbolism. It's just mostly the knowledge that the Sabres felt the way it seems like almost everybody on the outside did. But that's not specific to Matt Savoy or Ryan McLeod either. That's more just philosophical, that they were deep in the farm system and had a couple of holes in the forward ranks. All right, I give them credit. I don't know. I haven't seen them announce it yet. This is still just media reports. Paul, unless that's changed, I'm talking to you, so at the same time, I'm not sure I'm up to date. Yep, there it is. 4 minutes ago, they did announce it. Paul Hamilton will join me at 5, at the latest. Maybe we want to bug him a little earlier, but don't have to. And I wonder if there will be any sort of media with Kevin Adams. Is this enough to do that on a Friday afternoon? We'll see. Zach is on WGR. Zach, go ahead.
Hi. I'm super excited with this trade. I feel like when you're trading for a third-line center, you need to hit home, especially if you're trading Matt Savoy. And he didn't just trade for a regular third-line center. This is a third-line center that was just on a Stanley Cup team. If you look at Jay Fresh on Twitter, he's in the 98th percentile of penalty killers. He's actually one of the fastest players in the league. I feel like top to bottom, you just got such a good asset that instantly strengthens not only your bottom six, but your entire team. Mm-hmm. Massive improvement over Krebs, so I'm super excited. And I love Savoy, but could care less losing him in this trade.
What do you think happens to Krebs now?
Honestly, I feel like he was never going to get a massive payday. When you put up 17 points in a year and you're not, don't really have a figured out role, I could see him getting like a one-way, $1 million deal for a year and being a 13th forward kind of type, or maybe he gets shipped out. I feel like it's one of those two. I don't think there's a spot.
You wouldn't think that they would plan on using him up top?
I really don't think so. Okay. I would be disappointed if they were.
Yeah. You want to see one more thing, right, after this?
I'd like to see a top six move still. But worst case scenario, if they do not make a move and they can't strike on a top six winger, I feel the improvements in the bottom six itself make us so much stronger on paper than last year. And I'm maybe not thrilled or exuded if we don't get a top six forward, but I'm content.
Yeah, well done. Thanks, Zach. That makes a lot of sense. It does seem like the people, the Chad Dedeminises of the world, you're talking about Jay Fresh too. The guys I want to see good reviews on Ryan McLeod from seem to be, I haven't seen Chad specifically yet, but seem to be impressed with the player. Thanks, Zach. Joe is next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to chime in. I mean, first thing I did, I popped the Twitter and saw everybody kind of complaining about it. And it's like, we have like six first-round prospects. I mean, there's already so little spots. I mean, all the good teams make moves to get better. I think Tampa traded a first for a fourth-line player a few years ago. And, I mean, they won a cup. I mean, it's just a small example, but we needed a third-line center, and we made a hockey trade. We made a good move. And, good on Kevin Adams. I think it's, a great move, and, I want to see a top-six winger, too, come in. But, good start, and hopefully it keeps going.
You were also someone, Joe, maybe that kind of needed this, yes?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, we need to fill a hole, and, Krebs, didn't show too much promise last year, and you got a proven guy who's a good hockey player, and you know it. I mean, he just was in the cup final. He's going to help the team, and I don't know. I think it makes Krebs more expendable, and maybe you throw him in a package deal with trying to get a top six winger.
Yoki Haru?
Yeah, I mean, throw in next year's first too. They need to win now. They can't wait any longer. I mean, they just can't.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you. Appreciate that you shared your thoughts. I think what they need is to prove to everyone, everyone, that they're a serious team. And sometimes that means trades like this, where you're trading up a very promising player to fill a need because you're at a point, you've dug such a hole that this is the kind of thing I think that you can feel like you need to do, and you hope that leads to winning. We don't know that yet. They don't need to win the Stanley Cup this year or anything. Like, they're not a team, they're not the Leafs. They're not a team where you just have to, I'm really not planning, but you're not going to hear me say trade next year's first. I mean, that would be pretty incredible if they did that. That's the kind of move where a team just on the cusp of a championship might talk themselves into that. That's not the Sabres. The Sabres are a couple of steps behind that. But getting into the playoffs is realistic. It should always be. And they've been close. So this coaching change, the signings, this trade, this is what they have their eyes on. And if there's something else that works as well, I think Joki Haru is a player that has made sense to talk about trade-wise, and so does Krebs, especially now. And I think both of those guys would have fans in the league. I mean, just like Savoy, where these are not bad players. I like the idea of Krebs so much and wanted that to hit, but you know, his coaches sort of held him back, I think. Didn't get... What did Granato do? I mean, he just was, at least earlier in the season, maybe, holding him behind other guys that just didn't really make any sense. Even from a developmental standpoint, didn't really get that. But wanted, still would, the player to get there. But as the last caller, couple callers are saying, this might indicate that he is a fringe piece. More of one than even we thought. Tony is next. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up?
Normally I'm a much more private guy with my take, but your plea in the last little bit here really kind of got me to, yes. Maybe I'll give it a shot.
I got you to donate. I got you to make the phone call to donate to the cause.
Exactly, man. Exactly. I like the player just because everybody, a bunch of smart guys that I follow, likes the player. So I'm with it. I'd also be intrigued by the addition of a top six guy as well. But, you know, the thing that I really felt strongly about even before today and now, I think, you know, it becomes maybe like the dominant approach to what we're seeing. Like, one third of this forward rank had already turned over. All four guys that we had signed, as bottom six as they may be, we're expected to have opening night, spots. And that was four, and today's five. That's five out of 12 in your, in your forward ranks turning over. Mm-hmm. And, man, that really shows some effort as far as I'm concerned. And it gives me some excitement because, some of those bottom six were becoming some of the, poster children for – how hard it was to watch this team over the years, whether deserved or otherwise. So I'm just really excited at the sheer volume, and I'll hope that, in that volume lies some skill. And I think today's, is a big piece of it, along with Zucker, that can contribute on the score sheet. So I'm excited because of the volume of turnover and some fresh blood to root for.
Quintessentially, Tony, Gergensons. And we had Kevin Adams at the trade deadline get choked up about Gergensons and his passion and desire and work ethic. And he said he has already gotten underway getting a new deal done with him. And there was backlash, and he's gone. I don't know. Like, I don't know if Lindy Ruff had an important voice in sort of like breaking the Sabres off from Gergensons, or just what happened, or maybe nothing happened there. Adams did say that he made him an offer. But what you're talking about, I think, is correct. And Gergensons is like sort of quintessentially this point.
I think Okposo is too. And let's be honest, man. I mean, the last couple of years, minus some hot streaks, I mean, we were watching them try to jam Victor Olofsson into the lineup in the bottom six. I mean, it was kind of a tire fire down there. And I'm not necessarily sandpaper guy, but if they identified a way to be harder to play against, I'm all for rooting for some new blood.
Very good. Thanks, Tony. Going public with his thoughts on the Sabres bravely. Yeah, I think all that's right. It is Oposo, too. I said the other day, my struggles with the Sabres and changes aren't so much about what happened on Monday, because I think a lot of the signings, the trade for Malenstein, the addition of Zucker, Obey Kubel, they sort of make sense, and they are different guys. It's that last year, they didn't get there then. That was the frustration that I felt, is if you question whether they're a serious team, last offseason would be why. Oposo and Gergensen's due respect, you know, well-respected players. The conversation on Gergensen's became, okay, all that is well and good, what Adams said about him, what is his value? And he didn't have none. Like, Oposo was a tougher sell, I think, in this area than Gergensen's was. I mean, they found ways to, late in the season, he played with Thompson. Like, there were different interesting ways where he might have been of value. But what they did last year is run it back from one point out, as in addition to not changing the goalie scene, bringing in Eric Johnson for I guess, because he won a Stanley Cup, you know, veteran presence, that kind of stuff can so often get swallowed whole by, all right, well, can you play, right? Like, what are you bringing me on the ice? I'm glad you're good in the room. What are you bringing me on the ice? And the turnover, like, to Tony's point, the turnover itself is exciting. It always is. This is a point that's been made in this room many, many, many times over the years about the Sabres. And I think sports people hate it because it's just so simple, and you obviously prove by this that you just don't know. A trade for a trade's sake. But really, like, the sameness, the stagnant nature of the Sabres roster in this area caused fans to lose confidence in them. And I think that's what Gergensen's represented. Just like the way he became the guy known for the Sabres losing was known for, you know, just, that's not the right way to put it, but he's so identifiable for that, so connected in that way. And, you know, is he the reason why they haven't made the playoffs in 13 years? No, but you should be able to find comparable value in lots of places around the league, trades, free agency, and if not better. And the Sabres have hopefully accomplished that here. 803-0550 to join. Paul Hamilton at 5. How about this? We're going to talk to Paul about, I don't know, fireworks, development camp. Sorry, development camp, but this trade has pushed you back. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Shope on WGR. The Sabres made a trade. I know, I should have said, are you sitting down first, if you didn't know, but they did. Trading top prospect Matthew Savoy, who had another fine year in junior hockey after he was drafted by the Sabres, what, 2 summers ago now, to Edmonton for center Ryan McLeod. And he has a lot of fans, McLeod. A little bit, you know, maybe challenging for people who are numbers-driven, data-driven, to figure out what to do with a player that is on a team like the Oilers, right, where they have McDavid and Draisaitl and such top-end talent, what that means for a guy. Is he better than the role he has in Edmonton, or is he sheltered because of their existence? Whatever. You know, you want to read into it a little bit. And it seems like McLeod is somebody that has impressed in terms of the data and maybe the style of player, too. We've talked about that already since this trade was announced. He'll go right into the opening night roster. And Savoy probably would not have been on it again. Whatever happens to him, he could be, you know, an interesting footnote in Sabres history. But this, again, was the kind of move that a lot of people have been clamoring for from the Sabres. We also mentioned Henry Jokiharju before, thinking about whether there could be another move. We don't want to sit still here, right? Like, they make a trade at 4:30. We're on to, like, okay, what else? And maybe there would be an end point for that, or maybe there never is. We always want the next one. But the Sabres actually have announced a deal. Sorry, not a trade. They have signed Joki Haru to a one-year, $3.1 million contract. Paul will be coming up next. We talked about Joki Haru the other day, he and I, and just how his being an RFA, not having a deal, might, you know, whether that's good or bad, if you were actually trying to move him, do you sign him first or just what? I don't know that this means they wouldn't trade him, but he has been signed. The Sabres have announced. McLeod, by the way, is 1 year left on his contract for $2.1 million. And he would still only be an RFA next year, coming off age 25. So the Sabres will have control of the new player's rights for some length of time. RFA in 25-26. Paul, coming up, we'll find out what he thinks of this move. I think he's going to like that they made a move. But, you know, what you think of Matt Savoy or Ryan McLeod will factor in. So that's coming up. Paul has told us, by the way, he doesn't expect any media from the Sabres. We'll see what else might, if anything, changes on that front over the course of the afternoon. Paul Hamilton, After Sports. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
I'm excited because of the volume of turnover and some fresh blood to root for.
Quintessentially, Tony, Gergensons. And we had Kevin Adams at the trade deadline get choked up about Gergensons and his passion and desire and work ethic. And he said he has already gotten underway getting a new deal done with him. And there was backlash, and he's gone. I don't know. Like, I don't know if Lindy Ruff had an important voice in sort of like breaking the Sabres off from Gergensons, or just what happened, or maybe nothing happened there. Adams did say that he made him an offer. But what you're talking about, I think, is correct. And Gergensons is like sort of quintessentially this point.
I think Okposo is too. And let's be honest, man. I mean, the last couple of years, minus some hot streaks, I mean, we were watching them try to jam Victor Olofsson into the lineup in the bottom six. I mean, it was kind of a tire fire down there. And I'm not necessarily sandpaper guy, but if they identified a way to be harder to play against, I'm, like I said, I go back to, I'm all for rooting for some new blood.
Very good. Thanks, Tony. Going public with his thoughts on the Sabres bravely. Yeah, I think all that's right. It is Okposo, too. I said the other day, my struggles with the Sabres and changes aren't so much about what happened on Monday, because I think a lot of the signings, the trade for Malenstein, the addition of Zucker, Obey Kubel, they sort of make sense, and they are different guys. It's that last year, they didn't get there then. That was the frustration that I felt. Is if you question whether they're a serious team, last offseason would be why. Okposo and Gergensons, due respect, you know, well-respected players. The conversation on Gergensons became, okay, all that is well and good, what Adams said about him. What is his value? And he didn't have none. Like, Okposo was a tougher sell, I think, in this area than Gergensons was. I mean, they found ways to, late in the season, he played with Thompson. Like, there were different interesting ways where he might have been of value. But what they did last year is run it back from one point out, as in addition to not changing the goalie scene, bringing in Eric Johnson for I guess, because he won a Stanley Cup, you know, veteran presence, that kind of stuff can so often get swallowed whole by, all right, well, can you play, right? Like, what are you bringing me on the ice? I'm glad you're good in the room. What are you bringing me on the ice? And the turnover, like to Tony's point, the turnover itself is exciting. It always is. This is a point that's been made in this room many, many, many times over the years about the Sabres. And I think sports people hate it because it's just so simple, and you obviously prove by this that you just don't know. A trade for a trade's sake. But really, like, the sameness, the stagnant nature of the Sabres roster in this area caused fans to lose confidence in them. And I think that's what Gergensen's represented. Just like the way he became the guy known for the Sabres losing was known for, you know, just that's not the right way to put it, but he's so identifiable for that. So connected in that way. And, you know, is he the reason why they haven't made the playoffs in 13 years? No. But you should be able to find comparable value in lots of places around the league, trades, free agency, and if not better. And the Sabres have hopefully accomplished that here. 803-0550 to join. Paul Hamilton at 5. How about this? We're going to talk to Paul about, I don't know, fireworks, development camp. Sorry, development camp, but this trade has pushed you back. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Shope on WGR. The Sabres made a trade. I know, I should have said, are you sitting down first if you didn't know, but they did. Trading top prospect Matthew Savoy, who had another fine year in junior hockey after he was drafted by the Sabres, what, 2 summers ago now, to Edmonton for center Ryan McLeod. And he has a lot of fans, McLeod. A little bit, you know, maybe challenging for people who are numbers-driven, data-driven, to figure out what to do with a player that is on a team like the Oilers, right, where they have McDavid and Draisaitl and such top-end talent, what that means for a guy. Is he better than the role he has in Edmonton, or is he sheltered because of their existence? Whatever. You know, you want to read into it a little bit. And it seems like McLeod is somebody that has impressed in terms of the data and maybe the style of player, too. We've talked about that already since this trade was announced. He'll go right into the opening night roster, and Savoy probably would not have been on it again. Whatever happens to him, he could be, you know, an interesting footnote in Sabres history. But this, again, was the kind of move that a lot of people have been clamoring for from the Sabres. We also mentioned Henry Jokiharju before, thinking about whether there could be another move. We don't want to sit still here, right? Like, they make a trade at 4:30. We're on to, like, okay, what else? And maybe there would be a point, an end point for that, or maybe there never is. We always want the next one. But the Sabres actually have announced a deal. Sorry, not a trade. They have signed Jokiharju to a 1-year, $3.1 million contract. Paul will be coming up next. We talked about Jokiharju the other day, he and I, and just how his being an RFA, not having a deal, might, you know, what whether that's good or bad, if you were actually trying to move him, you sign him first or just what. I don't know that this means they wouldn't trade him, but he has been signed. The Sabres have announced. McLeod, by the way, is 1 year left on his contract for $2.1 million. And he would still only be an RFA next year, coming off age 25. So the Sabres will have control of the new player's rights for some length of time. RFA in 25-26. Paul, coming up, we'll find out what he thinks of this move. I think he's going to like that they made a move. But, you know, what you think of Matt Savoy or Ryan McLeod will factor in. So that's coming up. Paul has told us, by the way, he doesn't expect any media from the Sabres. We'll see what else might, if anything, changes on that front over the course of the afternoon. Paul Hamilton, After Sports. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.